Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this beautiful, almost spring-like, crisp, still winter day, the first Sunday in March and the third Sunday in Lent. Just good to see everyone here. We will just go right ahead with our worship, the invitation to worship. God welcomes the dreamers and the doubters, the hungry and hopeful. God welcomes the young and the old, the faithful and the tired. Wherever you are on your journey, there is room for all to gather here. This is God's house. Let us worship the one whom even the seas obey. Now, would you please join me in our opening unison prayer? Holy God, there are days where the wind is loud. There are days where the rain tears through the trees and the storms of life beg for our attention. So just as you stilled the wind and the sea, still our wandering hearts. Quiet our restless minds. Reach out your hand to us and pull us into your word, so that we might hear, really hear, your message to us today. With one foot out of the boat, we pray. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, you call us all to let go of the things that we cling to and step out in faith, trusting in your love and provision. Give us courage to step out boldly and sufficient faith to follow without fear. Take our lives and our gifts. Use them to accomplish more than we could possibly imagine, so that through us, your kingdom might come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Today, the scripture passage is from the Common English Bible, Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowd. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then, Jesus spoke to them. "Be encouraged, it's me. Don't be afraid." Well, Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to thank those of you who are going the extra mile to pick up the pieces of worship while I continue to try to keep air and keep moving forward. So again, I appreciate all of you who put in that extra mile. That's always helpful. As you know, this Lenten season, we are focusing on a series called Wandering Heart, Figuring Out Faith with Peter. One of the reasons that I grasped on to Peter's faith journey is because I think Peter represents all of us. Out of all of the disciples, sometimes I think Peter comes closest to who we are. So Peter's faith journey can often be a mirror that kind of reflects our own wanderings, rather it be those times when we are completely humbled by the way Jesus has worked in our lives, and we reply like we did last week, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." To those times when we see the resurrected Jesus standing in our midst, and at other times, even getting in the boat with us, like last week, invited or not. So we see in Peter's faith journey this genuine struggle to get this faith thing right, to follow Jesus and to be the disciples that we are called to be. Truly, Peter wants to follow Jesus. He really wants to follow Jesus. He wants to be the disciple that Jesus is calling him to be. He desires that, like you and I, more than anything in the world. Yet sometimes, well, our steps falter. And we take two steps back and one step forward, as that old saying goes. The important thing is, it's not our faltering steps that count. I want you to hear that. It is not our faltering steps that count, but that we have the courage to get back up again, embrace the rescuing forgiveness and grace that Jesus offers us, learn from our faltering steps, and then get back in the boat and journey on. I mentioned in a group discussion last Wednesday that this Sunday we'd be discussing Peter walking on water, to which more than one person responded, "I can't walk on water." For me, whether you can walk on water with Jesus depends on how we define walking on water. So I'd like to challenge you to contemplate that question. When have you walked on water with Jesus? And I'm just going to let you roll that around in your head for a minute. When have you walked on water with Jesus? One person in that group replied, "I'll be thinking about that all week." That's not a wrong. There's nothing wrong with that statement. In fact, if you're still thinking about that question at the end of the week, as you leave here today, I'm doing the happy dance. I'm happy for it, because if we've stepped out in faith and walked on water with Jesus, if we can't figure out when we've done that, it's going to be really hard to figure out how we have grown in our faith walk with Jesus, or the kind of growing that we have to do. And so as we enter into today's text, Jesus has been off praying, and the disciples, well, they're back in their little boat, and they're in the middle of another storm, so to speak, and the winds are strong, they're being battered by the waves, they've been pushed far from the comfort zone of the shoreline, and this is all taking place as they're surrounded by darkness. Now, being a boater myself, I know that when you're out on a lake at night, a familiar lake or not, navigating the waters when it's dark is a whole lot different than when you're navigating a boat in broad daylight. Navigation becomes a little riskier because everything looks different, so it's hard to judge or see what's floating around out there. The shoreline looks different, and it's hard to identify where you're at. Yes, I know. You have little lights on their boat. There's a little green and a little red one, a little white one. And it's likely that the disciples had lanterns, but they aren't much help when the light that is given off is about the size of a little light bulb that you plug into your wall at home. So they don't give off a huge amount of light. Nevertheless, it is into the stormy night that Jesus comes walking on water, and because things are a bit stormy and dark, the disciples can't exactly identify who it is that's walking on water toward them. In fact, they think Jesus is a ghost. Now, to you and I, that might seem a little bit silly. Really, guys? Are you kidding me? But what would you think? Because in this time and place, and dare I say even today, people believe in all sorts of ghosts and spirits. There are TV shows about ghost chasers and those who believe in paranormal experiences of calling their loved ones back from the dead. And I don't know how many of you ever played with a Ouija board when you were a kid, but they're still out there. Even the Bible speaks of ghosts and spirits that are not of the Spirit of God. You can see Leviticus, and that can be your homework if y'all want to run home and look that up. Consequently, this idea of ghosts walking on water isn't as far-fetched as you and I might think, and so the disciples, they react in fear, and mind you, the winds are high, they're being battered about, and they're likely already a little bit unsettled on the inside. The Bible says as a result, they're terrified. So Jesus, acknowledging this fear, says what to them? What does Jesus say to them? Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. It's me. So Peter takes him at his word and says, okay, I'm encouraged. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If it's really you, tell me to come out on the water with you. So Jesus takes Peter up on his request, and he calls him out onto the waters of chaos. Peter then finds himself walking on water with Jesus for a short time until the winds pick up, catching Peter's attention, at which point Peter begins to sink, and he cries out for the Lord to rescue him. And ever since this moment, Peter's critics have come out of the woodwork. And isn't that the truth? Trouble comes to someone, the winds in their life pick up, their sails get torn, or they become a bit battered by life circumstances, and the first thing that we often do is start to dissect their storm. Perhaps it's true, as the critics say, that Peter's problem was that, well, he stopped looking at Jesus, or he let the ever-increasing wind blow him off course. But here's what we often miss when we stop with that idea. Even though the waters were rough and the winds raged, despite Jesus' invitation made no sense at all, because we all know that you can't walk on water, Peter is the only disciple who dared to get out of the boat, put his feet on the water, and do what Jesus called him to do. Everybody else is still sitting in their little boat of safety. They're still in their comfort zone. We ain't getting out on that water. Only Peter took the risk to get out of the boat, storm or no storm, and risk that it might not work out for him. Might not work out. The truth is, when Peter steps out of the boat, he demonstrates that he's willing to take risks for Jesus. He shows this remarkable courage and this remarkable trust in Jesus. It took faith and courage for Peter to get out of that boat. Notice, Peter had enough faith to think that if Jesus called him to come out onto the water and walk, he could do it. And you know what? For a short time, he did. For a short time, he managed. Because there are, and I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty incredible that against all the odds in the world, Peter says, yeah, okay, call me out and I'll go do it. How many times, against all the odds in the world, have we been called to go do something or to some ministry and say, no way, that's just plain stupid. I'm doing that. But you know, there are times in life, I mean, we are so much like the disciples sometimes that it blows me away. You know, sometimes we look at the storm around us and we see all those choppy waters and we become scared and maybe we're terrified and we're not sure of what we're seeing unfold before us or what we're being called to do. That, you know what, we don't want to get out of the boat. Some days I don't want to get out of bed. But other times we just can't get out of the boat or won't get out of the boat. Sometimes we find ourselves sitting in a boat of despair, wondering if it's even worth trying to stand up again. Perhaps our storm is that missed goal or that missed opportunity, and we have let missing the mark drown us. Maybe, I don't know, our storm is a storm of addiction that threatens to sink us. Perhaps our circumstances are such that we think that life just isn't worth living anymore and we sit contemplating suicide. Sometimes our friends and family let us down and we think our relationships are so irreparable that we just let them sink. And other times, there are so many things that can easily throw us off course. We lose our job, illness strikes, we lose a child. We find ourselves in places that we never dreamed or even intended that we'd end up. And yet here we are. It's a normal response when the waters of our lives turn choppy and the winds pick up to be afraid and sometimes even terrified when you no longer can see the way forward and navigate the storm you're in. Sometimes, folks, the big thing is you got out of the boat at all and tried to walk on choppy waters anyway, in spite of the storms. Peter, again, he could have stayed within the confines of that safety net of his boat, and he could have chosen the comfort zone. But instead, he says, you know what? I think I can do this. I'm going to go walk on those choppy waters. The truth is, at times in our walk with Jesus, our faith journey is going to face turbulence, and it's going to face high winds and stormy weather. But in the midst of it all, we can always cling to Jesus' first words to the disciples in this text. Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid, and then get out of the boat and just start walking. Yeah. Like Peter, we might get blown off course, and we might feel as if we're sinking, even begin to sink, but I've never known anyone who's chosen to follow Jesus that hasn't experienced being blown off course, felt as if they're sinking, and had to cry out, Lord, rescue me. Has there ever been a time in it for any of you when you were trying to follow Jesus that you didn't get blown off course? Has there ever been a time when you didn't feel like you were going to sink? Has there ever been a time when you've cried out, Lord, rescue me? Because you see, all of that's okay. Because the way I see it is when we have faith enough just to get out of that boat when life is dark and we're being battered about and the choppy waters are turbulent, those are the times that we are walking on water with Jesus. Those are the times when we're walking on water with Jesus. It doesn't matter if we start to sink and have to cry, rescue me. What matters is, like Peter, we know enough, trust Jesus enough, that when we start sinking, we cry out for help. That's the biggest point. That's what really matters. Peter knew Jesus alone was the anchor, as the song said, when his sails were torn, and that in the eye of the storm, Jesus would remain in control. Jesus knows when our faith is weak, Jesus knows at times our faith isn't as strong as it needs to be, or maybe our faith isn't as strong as it was at other times. Jesus knows sometimes we're going to turn our attention to the wind that's swirling around us and be blown off course. But Jesus' words to us in those moments are, be encouraged and don't be afraid. Get out of the boat and come to me. And in essence, that is what Peter did. You see, sometimes I think we become so focused on Peter's little wandering heart and Jesus' statement, you man of weak faith, and why did you have doubts? And we forget, Peter walked on water, folks. The dude walked on water. Now, you know, maybe he did doubt Jesus a little bit. Maybe he had his own doubts. But the guy still walked on water. And maybe more important, what we miss is the fact that when Peter began to sink, what did he do? He recalculated his journey. He refocused his mind. And he cries out to Jesus for rescue. Peter never stopped walking toward Jesus. I know you can find someone in some commentary that'll tell you that he did, but he didn't. He never stopped walking toward Jesus. And I think that's far more important lesson in this text. Not that Peter's faith was weak or even that he doubted himself or Jesus, because what happens next is huge. Notice, when Peter cries out to Jesus, Jesus immediately grabs him up, pulls him out of the water, and Peter ends up safely back in the boat with the waters and the storm that raged around him calmed down. Sure, Jesus said his faith was weak. But maybe instead of seeing Jesus' words as a strong rebuke, we should see them as Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, you've got some growing to do in your walk with me. Nevertheless, I've got you. Nevertheless, I've got you. So let me ask you again, when have you walked on water with Jesus? Our communion stewards have pre-cut the bread for us, so you can pick up your own piece and it will be ready for you. So, would you join me? God welcomes the dreamers and the doubters, the courageous and the fearful, the hungry and the hopeful, the impatient and the reserved. God welcomes the young and the old, the poets and prophets, the faithful and the tired, the curious and convicted. Wherever you are on your journey, wherever your boat is at sea, there is room for all to gather here. This is God's table. Some days we are quick to declare God's goodness. Like Peter, we see you in our midst and we're confident in our faith. Other days we're distracted and uncertain, desperate for answers. Some days we are quick to trust your blessings, trusting that we are called and that we can make a difference. Other days our praise falls silent and doubt creeps in. We know that fear and doubt are a part of the journey of faith. But for the days when we are far from you and far from ourselves, we ask for tender and abundant grace. So, Holy God, like Peter, fan the flames of our faith. Like Peter, invite us to step out of our boats. And like Peter, use us to care for those in need, to tell your story, and to build a better world. We remember and we believe. We remember how Jesus fed everyone. We remember how none were turned away. And we remember how Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So today, Jesus invites you to come and to remember. Today, Jesus says, there is room for you here. And so let us come to the table expectant, eager, open to tasting the rich blessings of heaven, born from unexpected places and people and experiences. In this meal, we remember the life and death and resurrection of the one who still takes on flesh among us today. And on the night that he would be arrested, Jesus gathered his friends and companions in the midst of tense and dangerous times. They found each other at the table, connecting over the story of God in flesh among them. And as they did so, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and shared it with the disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we join our hearts and minds with those who have gone before us, remembering the way that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So come, Holy Spirit, breath of God, renewer of life, settle on the gifts of bread and cup and all who gather here, that we might be transformed by our remembrance of your radical love, your eternal embrace, and your abundant grace that makes all things new. For the sake of our shared lives, the life of this land on which we live, and the lives of those yet to come, nourish us and renew our hope that soon Christ may rise among us. So let us receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven, and the body of Christ broken for us. And let us receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing, a blessing in which we all share for the forgiveness of the sins. So please come forward as you are able, if our stewards would come forward first. The bread will be served to you, and the cup will be served to you as well. If you're unable to come forward, our servers will be glad to serve you in your seat. Just raise your hand so that they know that you can't come forward. Again, the body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. Our closing prayer is our benediction today. Gracious God, we thank you for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. You companion us in this journey and feed our souls with your presence and your grace. Send us out, nourished and accompanied in your name, to love all people, to bear one another's burdens, to provide for healing, to proclaim your kingdom, and to bring peace to every place you send us. We pray and we live in the power and presence of your loving Spirit. Amen.